Well, if you watch television, cable news, if you are on social media, I'm sorry, because you are very well aware of this person, the person of the year, according to Time Magazine. We're going to talk about Greta in podcast 884, the Bob Davis Podcasts. By the way, we're going to do that while my gas washing machine and gas dryer proceed to spew carbon into the atmosphere. I haven't done a washing day podcast in quite some time, so we're doing that in podcast, also in podcast 884.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering, people are dying, entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
There she is, the person of the year, and there are either people celebrating on social media and in the media mainstream, or people that are thoroughly upset. And some people are creating their own person of the year memes, which I find amusing. Some of them are great, and others are singing the praises of this courageous child who, took this time to castigate the United Nations, and I want to talk about it in this podcast. But first, the washing machine has stopped. The rinse cycle is over, and it's time to put this stuff in the dryer. So I think I'm going to do it. Just put this stuff in the dryer. This is going to be an easy talker, because I don't want to go through a long and involved intellectual conversation, because I'm not going to talk about global warming. I'm going to talk about something else that has to do with this whole culture of celebrity, which is far more dangerous to the world, in my opinion, than climate change. And there goes the carbons being spewed into the atmosphere. Well, I'm going to get worked up in this podcast, and since the focus of this podcast to a certain degree is going to be climate change, I want to talk about business. I want to talk about production, and I want to talk about building and manufacturing a little bit to kind of balance the climate change stuff. So let's talk about business law. So I've been advertising various legal services to help individuals and small businesses by making the Bob Davis Podcast kind of a center for various legal services, whether it's real estate, personal injury, and of course, business law. And so I want to tell you about Virtus Law. Virtus Law, of course, has offices in Cambridge, Minnesota, Edina, Maplewood, Red Wing, Mendota Heights, and even an office in Dallas. So they are big time. When it comes to business, Virtus Law, of course, offers full services. If you're a small business owner, let me ask you a question. What do you do about strategy? Are you thinking strategically? Now, maybe you are one step ahead when you have the time, and of course that's good. I've talked about this. Maybe your lawyer even thinks one or two or even three steps ahead, and that is good too. But to be on top of things today when it comes to business, lawyers, that might not be enough. For example, what do you do when it comes to management service agreements and, of course, succession for family-owned businesses, estate planning, partnerships, of course, asset protection, debt issues, and income tax planning, and human resources issues? This is the kind of stuff Virtus Law excels in, because what you need in business today when it comes to business law is a strategic planner. And for that, you need Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law. He is the guy, because he thinks strategically. He is very down to earth. He has a great personal story in terms of becoming a lawyer in the first place and starting Virtus Law. So again, most lawyers really don't give you strategic advice. The clock is running. That's how they operate. They might do whatever you need them to do, but if you're the owner of a growing business, you have to have a little bit more when it comes to legal advice, and you might not be real happy with the strategic advice you're getting from your current attorney. And so if you do and you want to look at long-term planning and not short-term transactions, you want Nathan W. Nelson, one of the co-founders at Virtus Law, full legal services, strategic planners, fees structured reasonably. Call Nathan W. Nelson at 612-888-1000. That's 612-888-1000, Virtus Law, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So yeah, I'm going to castigate online, so I might as well advertise my own services online, and that, of course, is the Bob Davis Podcast at iTunes, Stitcher.com. I just got a notification from Spotify that I'm getting a lot of downloads and feeds from Spotify, and of course, they're kind of playing it close to the vest in terms of their feeds, and I love that. I appreciate the shares on social media. I don't care about your comments. Sorry, it's not something that floats my boat. I do like the likes, but the shares are what it's all about for the Bob Davis Podcasts and the RTs on Twitter, okay? As you know, I have an aversion to following what I can only refer to as pop culture and pulp culture entertainment in the form of what is called news today in America. It is a massive manipulation and a cartoon. And it's even better when you can find cartoon characters or create them to promote any particular point of view in the mainstream media. And so there's all kinds of examples of stunting that is done by movements, celebrities, movie stars, music artists, politicians, and so forth. No one is more talented at doing it than the President of the United States. And of course, everyone, you know, either supports or doesn't support anyone who's stunting. So when someone stunts, they get a pushback or as well as a big push up from their supporters, quote unquote, who are enraged or enthused over whatever the stunt was. The video of this young woman castigating the UN, which I think is hilarious, for being interested in money, which is even funnier, and quote unquote the lie of constant economic growth, to paraphrase what she said, I find fascinating, because if there is any organization in the world that is least interested in that, it would be the United Nations. But that's almost another podcast. Here's what I want to talk about. Time Magazine. I just did a quick search because I wanted to know what are the top, in 2019, what are the top selling, the highest circulation magazines? Now, if you're of a certain age, you remember that you would go to the newsstand and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of magazines that you could buy on almost anything and everything. And they ranged in price from 79 cents to $4 or $5, depending on what you purchased. And in the years since that experience that many people of a certain age have had, magazines have all but disappeared from the landscape. Yes, they are still published, but they have been supplanted with websites or something to that effect, or they struggle. Now, to put all this in perspective, when you consider Time Magazine circulation, not even in the top 20 of all magazines, but look at these magazines, 32 million, 42 million, whatever, in a month, a monthly circulation, let's say, or a yearly circulation, depending on, you look up the numbers, I'll put a link and you can make your own conclusions. Compare to that, when you go on YouTube and you watch a CNN video or a CNBC video or some crazy PewDiePie video on YouTube, look at the number of views and subscriptions. People on YouTube, people on Facebook, people on Twitter, you know, various feeds on Instagram, various content, and it isn't limited to just people that you know about, have millions and millions and millions of feeds, which dwarf weekly circulation numbers of magazines, which dwarf the ratings for TV shows. And I've talked about this before. So the stuff that's circulating out there in terms of social media and online dwarf the circulations for these kinds of publications, especially print, newspapers and magazines. This is why I say nobody reads Time Magazine. And they are not what they used to be. In fact, Time Magazine, I was shocked to find, is not even in the top 20 of the top circulation magazines. I would be surprised if they have a circulation over 20 million. So when people talk about Time Magazine, you have to understand that the readership of these magazines is very low. And most of the time when people see a Time magazine is at the dentist's office or the doctor's office or at the oil change place. When you sit down in one of those really old crummy chairs or whatever, and there's a bunch of magazines on a table, and you pick it up and you've got the one from January 2017, or you get Field and Stream from 3 months ago, or something to that effect, or Vogue, and you look up your horoscope or something, and some of the pages have been torn out, and it's all ads, and it's a really, unless you have something to read that you brought with you, which often when I have to do that, I just bring a book, you're stuck reading some aged magazine from God knows how many years ago. Most of the time in somebody's bathroom, if you're visiting somebody's house, they've got, you know, Home and Garden or Country Home. Those magazines have more circulation than Time magazine. And yet, people on social media, especially people of a certain persuasion, not the supporters of this stunt that Greta pulled that you heard at the beginning of the podcast, I'm outraged and how dare you ruin my life and so forth and so on. Those people are not necessarily posting a lot about Greta. And if left to their own devices, I doubt they would have been celebrated. They would have celebrated Greta's appearance as the quote-unquote person of the year for Time magazine, which is the only thing that Time ever does that gets any attention. And people are always outraged. How dare they make that person? So I dare you to think, do you remember a person of the year last year, the year before that, the year before that? I don't. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast off the cuff, because I have no memory of any person of the year prior to Greta. So it's every year they do this right before the beginning of the next year. They put somebody up there and there's all this outrage about this person being person of the year, whoever it is. They had Hitler on there one time back when Time magazine was actually the most read weekly in the United States. That was over 70 years ago, 80 years ago, almost 100 years ago now. So Time magazine is not even a shadow of its former self. It's a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of its former self. And the only reason anyone pays attention to it is because of this person of the year thing every year, or because once in a while they print some article that people talk about. So in the second half of this podcast, let's talk a little bit about this culture of manipulation and this culture of stunting and this culture of reaction that people feel that they need to have, because this is, I think, the key. Let's talk about construction and building and what you do when you have a little money and you think, do we want to buy a new house or do we want to add on to this? So if you're thinking about an addition, if you're thinking about a new basement so you can get your kids out of the upper part of the house, if you're thinking about redoing your garage with a garage heater and kind of a man cave thing, new bathrooms, I want to recommend a builder and contractor that is great, and that is Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota. They're online at whitetailbuildersinc.com. Also, there's a banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the way it works. Randy Grabo is available at 612-282-8801, 612-282-8801. He loves talking about potential plans. And if you're going to do an addition, you got to plan ahead a little bit. And the best contractor I can think of is Whitetail Builders, because they're going to be there with you from start to finish. Whitetail Builders, click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or check out whitetailbuildersinc.com. I mean, this podcast is a cheap ploy to get feeds by employing the name Greta and the controversy of Time magazine. I mean, that's the whole point. And I guarantee you, I'll get a lot of feeds for this podcast because of that. This is the way it works. So someone like Greta, it doesn't have to be Greta. It could be anyone. It could be Joe Schmo pulls some kind of stunt where they go, and I what I found amusing about the Greta thing was that she's complaining to the UN, and the UN is the agency that has championed climate change as an issue. Just they've been at the forefront of the climate change issue, regardless of how you feel about it, from the get-go. And so her criticizing the UN, and I didn't talk about it at the time. I could have done podcasts about it at the time, but I just thought, why bother? Because you're not going to convince anyone. Here's the situation with climate change. People take it as a matter of faith. They either think the world is ending and that we've destroyed the world, or they don't. And you aren't going to convince anyone of any other thing, depending on what their faith is. A good example is just think of any conversation you've had in a garage at a party or in a kitchen at a party or whatever, some backyard thing during the summer with someone that disagreed with you on climate change or global warming, depending on what word you use. Did you convince them? Did they go, my God, you've made such amazing points. I'm going to have to reexamine my position on climate change from believing that the world is ending and that human beings are destroying it and capitalism is destroying it and this surge for constant growth and economic growth and money is ruining our culture. Boy, you've just convinced me. I'm going to have to go home. I can't be at this party anymore. Let me put my party cup down, go home, do some reading, and maybe I can sort of reconsider my position. And then you get an email from them the next week that says, you are absolutely right. You've convinced me. I'm now going to work against global warming. That never happens. It never will happen. Conversely, there's almost no one who is against climate change. I'm against climate change, or I'm against global warming. I don't believe in global warming. That's what everyone says. Do you believe in global warming? Do you believe in Santa Claus? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Wotan? Right? And almost no one ever says, yeah, let me go out and stop warming up my F-450 Cummins diesel the Dodge Ram Cummins diesel out there that's just been sitting in the driveway running. Let me just, you've convinced me, I've got to sell that truck. Does anybody want to buy my Ram diesel for, you know, half price because I must repent. I must change my view on climate change. No, these things never happen because what you have is you have this group of people who have constellations of issues that they believe in. And whenever they get into an argument, they quote other sources. Well, did you hear what so-and-so said about that? Did you hear what Greta said at the UN about this? She's really done her research and she really knows. Okay. I don't even think the scientists know. I don't think anyone knows. That's my personal opinion. I just don't believe. I'm sorry, but I find it amusing because I've been hearing about this for most of my life, and I have yet to see the apocalypse generated by climate change. What I have seen are various types of apocalypses locally, apocalypsi, locally caused by government. Wars, economic depression, oppression of individuals, outrageous confiscations of wealth and taxation of middle-class Americans by organized governments, up to and including the church. And this concept of taking things on faith and the trouble it has caused humankind for hundreds and hundreds of years, whether it is communism, fascism, socialism, or any of the isms. The only one that is least, as far as I'm concerned, has been benign, even though it has caused problems as well, is capitalism, because which we, by the way, aren't a capitalist country. People like to think of America as a capitalist country. What we are is a regulated market economy, as opposed to a controlled market economy, which is basically China, which is communist. The United States is not a capitalist country, and attacking capitalism is silly because we're not capitalist. In fact, Western Europe is not capitalist. We are not capitalist. Most of these countries are mercantilist in nature. That's why they're trade protectionist. And we have a highly regulated market economy, and there's a fair amount of wealth redistribution through taxation. And that's a fact, right? We don't need to go on and on about that. But I find it amusing that we're attacked for being capitalists. We're not really capitalists. So if we were purely capitalist, everyone would be on their own and they would sink or swim based on their ability to create value. And that's not the way things are in this country. But anyway, we live a pretty good life and we have to withstand these different movements with the reactions. What's especially interesting about this is the reaction among quote-unquote conservatives. Now, conservative is like a brand of automobile now. I drive, what do you drive? Well, I drive a conservative. What do you drive? Well, I drive a liberal, actually. It's a fantastic car. It's electric. And what's wrong with you? You drive a conservative, which has a giant diesel engine and spews fuel into the atmosphere and has leather seats. And you probably eat meat. And yes, I drive a conservative. And I also drive a Republican. I have a Republican truck that I drive. And you probably drive that Democrat, propane-fueled bus or something to that effect, right? Everyone is a brand. Everyone follows a brand. Everyone attaches themselves to some kind of brand. It's very difficult to live in the world as a whole today without some identification above your head. I had a dream once. And in my dream, I dreamed of people sitting around a conference table, and above their heads were holograms that described who they were. So here's Susan, and there was a steady stream of thoughts that would be today associated with tweets, and then she had a logo and a description of who she was, and the guy next to her, you know, Hugh, he had a different set. And so you could tell what people were thinking, but more importantly, there were logos over their heads, which indicated their affiliations. And so everyone knew who everyone was, and this is how they were conducting business. I mean, that's what it's like in this country. So if you were to go and do what the government does, which is pull up everyone's history, you would see these associations. And this is the world we live in. And as long as we have accepted this idea that we are quote-unquote capitalist and that we have these systems, these internet systems, these communication systems, we have accepted this concept of branding by behavior. I hesitate to think what people would think if they looked at my internet history, my YouTube history, my Facebook history, and everything else. And I'm sure most of you would feel the same. And of course, someone has. So, you know, there's nothing I can do about that. We are naked before these agencies of any kind. And that is a unique experience in human history. It has never happened before. That is far more dangerous than climate change. And that will kill us and destroy our freedom far faster than any kind of climate change issue. And yet we don't ever talk about that, really, because no one understands that. Everyone can understand climate change because they worry about the next hurricane or the next snowstorm. And almost everyone talks about the weather. And everyone always says, I don't remember it ever being like this before. It was the worst storm I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything like this before, right? And I say it. I've never seen anything like that. And you catch yourself going, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. Oh my climate change. I can't believe I just said that. Or this hurricane season was purported to be this year the most devastating. We watched, I don't know if we watched one, we watched three of these hurricanes never even hit the shore. Just glance up the Atlantic coast or wherever. There were, this is threatening New Orleans. It's going to kill thousands of people. And it didn't happen. Same with snowstorms. It's the worst thing we've ever seen before. It's a bomb cyclone. You know, you can't escape, and so on. And I don't want to go on about that. What's interesting is people think they're being original when they oppose one of these stunts. So we have a president. This is what he does all day. He comes up with the next stunt. It's a game show, and he's the main character. And nothing's changed from the time that he did whatever that show he did was. That's what he does. And, of course, all the little minions in the House and the Senate and everyone else who is even a paid flack for any of these people, that includes all the people on talk radio. It includes all these so-called content creators like myself, although I'm not a paid flack, so I'm actually independent. There are some of us who are. The people who are paid by the Mercers or by the Koch brothers or by Tom Steyer to go out and make these arguments jump on board and do these stunts, and people respond to it, and they post. And so isn't it interesting that Greta has gotten more mileage from the reaction to her being named the person of the year by Time magazine, which was my understanding, as I said, is it was actually an article about young people versus if no one had responded at all on Facebook, including the humorous memes that have, you know, other people as person of the year. We wouldn't even be talking about this. We'd be talking about Miley Cyrus, or we'd be talking about, Mitch McConnell, or we'd be talking about the president or Nancy Pelosi or somebody like that, who pulled some stunt. You know, look, did you hear what Nancy, did you hear what, have you seen this? Which is why I did that podcast, the most recent podcast I did, 883, about these issues that no one talks about. And I'm not gonna get into it here because you'd have to unpack all of that. And I feel those are relatively nonpartisan issues. economic issues or development issues or prosperity issues, things of that nature that aren't discussed, you know, at all. And there are others. I'm sure there are other people who honestly have uncovered other issues that no one really talks about. And I've had a lot of conversation with friends recently about some of that stuff, like how we eat. And no, I'm not suggesting we become vegetarians. If you want to be a vegetarian, that's your business. I certainly won't be. But how we eat, what we eat, you know, what people do for work, how they live their lives, those things. And those are personal choices. And you can make observations about that in terms of social commentary. But if the so-called right wing, the people driving conservatives... What do you drive? I've actually got the SUV, the conservative SUV. It's fabulous. You know, it's painted red and it says MAGA on the side and it's great. And what are you driving? Well, I'm driving the blue electric liberal. It's amazing. It's as sense of entitlement on one side and dump Trump on the other, right? That's the country we're living in, is this need to feel that you're associated. And it really is difficult. It's like separating yourself from want. I've done podcasts about the difference between need and want. And I'm sorry this is disjointed, but this is the essence of stream of consciousness. I've talked about to be successful, you have to deny yourself, so you have to delay gratification. And one of the ways that you delay gratification is to reduce your wants as much as you can and then start reducing your so-called needs. Because in our society, with all the persuasion going on and manipulation going on, needs become wants. Well, this is the public discourse and quote-unquote news version of need and want. We are in a situation where as people, we have to decide for ourselves whether an event, which is a stunt, they are stunts and nothing less and nothing more. People are put up to raise money. That's what they do. They raise money on Greta for their movement, or they raise money on Trump for their movement, or they raise money on Bernie for their movement. This is the way it works in our society. And it's what it is it's going against the norm, cross-cutting the norm, breaking through to the extent that you break through and raise money on what you said or didn't say, or the stunt that you pulled, that is that builds careers. And it destroys careers. It also raises money and builds all sorts of different political careers. And this is the way it is in our society. To the extent that you feel those are real issues, that's the danger. We have to decide as people what are – it's not what the conservative believes or what the liberal believes. It's what is real and what isn't, and what is a significant issue that needs to be responded to and what isn't, and then how do you respond to that issue? So all the people that are, you know, making fun of Greta or saying that she's abused or, you know, personally attacking her are just wasting their time, because all they're doing is helping Greta's fabulous stunt succeed. Whatever the stunt was. And you can say, okay, well, Greta, I disagree with, so I hate her. Or you can say, Trump, I disagree with, so I hate him, and he has to be stopped. That's the game that is being played with the American people and with the world in general. It is a massive, massive manipulation, and it involves data mining, and it involves all sorts of things that we don't know about because we don't pay attention to that stuff. And yes, they are mining the data, and yes, they are aware of what people's conversations are about. And it isn't just the stuff that you overhear. And I'll close with this thing, because the dryer is almost done. I heard a conversation in the grocery store yesterday, and it was all predicated on this constant stimulation of the differences between generations. You know, as an example, there was a piece today which is completely a waste of time, in which some boomer apologized for all the horrible things that their generation has done. By the way, the boom generation hasn't really done anything, but that's another story. Here we have this article. Oh, I'm so sorry, millennials. We screwed up and we didn't accomplish anything. And it's a list of, you know, issues for people driving liberals, of things that we should have done that we didn't do. If you're a boom generation person, which is entirely a construct for the most part. You know, there's a lot of people born after World War II. Is it a single group of people who think alike? No. You know, there was a lot of young people born by those parents, the boomers, became parents, had children in the late 80s and early 90s. Those are so-called millennials. And all the way up through the 2000s, because they came of age at the turn of the millennium, time being a completely subjective construct. Is it a single generation that thinks the same and acts the same and thinks one way? No. And now it's Gen Z. Oh, the Gen Z people are different, and they think this way and they think that way. Because who? Because Faith Popcorn or someone has discerned from their analysis that these people think this way and think that. Do they? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't do that kind of market research anymore, so I don't really know. But, you know, one thing I've learned about market research is half the time the sample sizes are too small, and whoever makes the conclusion doesn't know what they're talking about. Don't even get me started. This is what we're dealing with. Is this stuff is all false? It's false. All of it is false. They're not real issues. They're fake issues that seem real. So we have to, in addition to, you know, trying to depress our wants to the point where our needs begin to get depressed, so we can be successful in life and not use debt to buy that Ram diesel. Because we have to have it, right? We also have to depress our outrage on a particular issue because something happened, and we're operating on limited knowledge, limited information, because something happened. And this is a great example of that. So this is what I thought when I saw the outrage over Greta being the person of the year. Congratulations to Greta for this quote-unquote accomplishment. You know, felt strongly about something, went to the UN through somebody's auspices and threw a tantrum and was applauded for this because that's how it works. Oh, yeah, the conversation was between a boom population person. Actually, she probably was Gen Z, close to 50. Gen Y. No, what is it? Gen X. See what I mean? I don't even know which gen I'm talking about. She was probably 50. And I was at the grocery store, and this is one of these cheeky grocery stores where everything's quote-unquote fresh and everyone's a hippie, and, you know, I love it. And she was talking to a younger employee, and she was just making fun of his, you know, well, you and your cell phones. And he was responding. At one point, she said something to the effect of, you know, well, you know, if there's a world left, we're going to bequeath you this world that's a mess. And he was like, you know, I'm personally offended by this characterization of quote unquote my generation. And it is amusing that boomers and Gen Xers feel this need to identify other generations the same way that they resisted that kind of identification by their parents so many years ago. So, this is an artifact of social media, which is nothing more than a manipulation from top to finish. It's a joke, but it is what it is. And people get sucked in and they feel they need to say something and they need to respond. And it's almost always personal. You cannot win the global warming battle, period. If you don't agree with it, elect some people and vote them down, because that's the only thing that you can do, and vice versa, because it's not, you can't win the battle, and you'll never win the battle. And if people say, well, their facts are wrong, I don't know if their facts are wrong, and I don't know if your facts are right. You're just going to have to go out and figure out how to elect people who won't be corrupt. Good luck with that. And who will do your bidding. You're going to put them in, and then they're going to do, you know, what they're going to promote ideas that are not what you thought was going to happen. So, yes, I'm completely cynical, and I think that cynicism is actually very healthy these days. Two things. I hate my printer, and I hate my printer because I don't like paying tons of money for print cartridges. Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and they guarantee their cartridges to perform as good as new, and they do because I have them in my printer. Free delivery on qualifying orders, and if you qualify, you can get a free printer. 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. How about manufacturing? How about American manufacturing at Depot Star? Belching smokestacks and building things that make businesses work. If you were looking for a great American manufacturer, remember Depot Star, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit Depot Star at depotstar.com. That's DEPOTSTAR.com, Depot Star. Well, my laundry's almost ready, so thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 884. Greta! Greta!
How dare you! You have stolen my dreams with your empty words. People are dying. All you can talk about is money. How dare you!
People try to put us to death. Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
Hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
It's my generation. It's my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away? Try to dig what we all say.
I'm not
trying to cause a big sensation.
About my generation.
I'm just talking about my generation.